This is Kevin Bradford speaking about Pastor Leon Frost. I am deeply indebted to him primarily in two ways. The first has to do with fathering a beautiful daughter and then allowing her to marry me. I am keenly aware that he has tremendously influenced her convictions and spiritual principles, her respect for leadership, her financial acumen, and a host of other traits that communicates my dad put a lot of time in me. And secondly, and just as important, Pastor has exemplified what it means to be a mentor, and not just a mentor, but a spiritual father. I've been blessed to learn under his leadership, and I'm still amazed by his wisdom and knowledge. So in my eyes, he is someone I have to look up to because he's 6'7" in stature. And also spiritually, he is someone I look up to, not because I am forced, but because he simply lives his apostolic passion. He loves to follow truth, proclaim truth, and celebrate truth. And if there was ever one line he is known for, it is, keep your head up. Many have benefited from those words because they know it represents the full weight of who Pastor Leon Frost is.
Pearson. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen, amen. Well, Brother Enzi and I have had a good time together, and we're living in the same house together, so we can't be too mean to one another. But it has been a joy to be with them, and been a joy to be here, Brother Sister Pearson, and all the pastors and their wives, and this great congregation of people in North Dakota. It's just a joy to see people all around our fellowship that loves God with such great, great zeal and such a tremendous bunch of young people. The accommodations have been so wonderful, and all of the fruit and all of the preparation that has gone into making our stay comfortable, we certainly thank you for that. And being a preacher sometimes has some advantages. One man told me, he said, most of the time, we get paid more than we're worth. But he said there's some times that you couldn't pay us enough to do what we have to do. And that makes up for it. And that is true in some cases. One boy said, I want to be a preacher. His mom said, you want to be a preacher? How come you want to be a preacher? He said, I think it'd be a whole lot more fun to stand up there and scream than have to sit here and fold my hands and be quiet. But it's not all in that. I read something the other day that's kind of cute. It said, don't ride in automobiles. They cause 20% of all fatal accidents. Don't stay at home because 17% of all accidents occur at home. Do not walk on the streets or sidewalks because 14% of all fatal accidents happen to pedestrians. Don't travel by air, rail, or water. 16% of all fatal accidents happen on these. Only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. And these are related to previously physical disorders. So, it's probably the safest place to be tonight if you want to live through it. Hallelujah. I have found living for God to be one of the greatest joys of my life. I wouldn't trade where I am tonight for anything in the world. Praise God. I certainly enjoy being with good men, and I walked the grounds this morning during the ladies' meeting and talked to several preachers and people, and it's just a joy to have such a good fellowship of people. Praise God. And I'm looking forward to you having a bigger and better tabernacle somewhere, somehow. I don't know what you're going to do on Friday night around here. They're standing tonight. And when everybody gets here, what are we going to do? Well, that's good trouble, isn't it? That's good problems, isn't it? Praise God. And I hope that you build the platform a little bit different, because when I walked over there the other night preaching, I remembered that fan. And I can't raise my hands over there. I have a friend of mine that has a wooden leg. He says, I'm afraid of termites and blowtorches. I said, well, I'm afraid of ceiling fans. So you have to watch them. I walked into a friend of mine's house one day and caught the turn of that fan and hit my hand on it just so it would just sound the flutter of the fan on my hand, and grabbed my head and fell to the ground. They were praying for me. They gathered around me. And I got to laughing so hard, they thought I was really hurting, till I fell over laughing so hard, and then they wanted to kick me. But being tall is fun. Everybody asked me if I've ever played basketball. I said, no, I play miniature golf. Let's stand together. Praise God. How many of you are ready to preach the word of the Lord tonight with us? In fact, there couldn't have been a better stage set for our message tonight than what has been already set, with the singing of songs and then the choir song, then the remarks by Brother Enzi. Haven't you enjoyed that preaching during the day? Now, that's far from a happy meal. That is good preaching. I've enjoyed that so much. A God that can make things happen. And this morning, don't bury your promise too soon. My, my, my. I want to have some faith for the rest of this week that God is going to do something wonderful for somebody. Before you go home from this camp, you should have a renewed faith in the doctrine of which we hold dear, a renewed faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that we trust in, and a renewed faith in the Holy Ghost that will give us the power to sustain us when we go to our respective places of worship and churches from here. If you have your Bibles and would care to turn to the book of James chapter 4, I would like to read a few verses of Scripture from this chapter. I believe that I will begin reading at verse number 1. And if you have your Bibles to follow along when you find it, say amen. All right, verse number 1, chapter 4, the book of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Everybody say war. Now you see why the songs that have been sung tonight fit with what I'm going to preach about. Verse 2, you lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Everybody say war. Yet ye have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Would you say enemy of God? Tonight I want to preach to you for the next little while about enemies and wars. Wars and enemies. And I'm not just going to talk about the wars that we see going on today. I'll just mention a little bit, but there is a greater war in our world, in this dangerous world that we live. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Would you lift your hands together and let's ask the Lord to help us. Savior, we come to you because we need you. We love you and worship you. We rely upon you. We ask you to help us tonight as we once again take the bread of life and break it. And I pray, O Lamb of God, that you would give to your children accordingly, and that we would have that which we could take with us. Inspire our hearts, thrill our spirits, renew our lives in you, and give us direction according to the divine will of God. And I humbly ask you to use lips of clay today and this heart and life, I pray, in the wonderful name of the Lord. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I read a book called Tipping Point. And in that book called Tipping Point was quite a few stories of how things evolve into success, from just humble beginnings to great successes. And in that book was one particular story that caught my eye, and it was the story of hush puppies. Anybody know what hush puppies are? Shoes? Anybody have hush puppies on tonight? Well, back, you know, we do have. They're more popular than today than they were for a few years. In fact, when I was very young, I wore those hush puppy loafers, and they kind of went out of style. But back in the early 90s, a couple of stand-up comedians went into a little pub in Manhattan, and they went to the secondhand store and dressed up in 50s clothing and happened to wear a couple of pair of those hush puppies. And the people there saw them and, of course, wanted to imitate them. That's not so uncommon in our world, to imitate people. And the fact that the entire world that we live in is a world of imitations and imitators, people that follow. Otherwise, we wouldn't have men wearing earrings today. Yeah. Saw a man the other day had so many piercings, if they cremated him, they'd have to sell him for scrap metal. We're living in a strange society. They imitate things. And so that group of people that's there went out and they started buying hush puppies from secondhand stores. And it became a thing. And hush puppy sales had gotten down to about 30,000 pair a year. And that was mostly sold outside of the United States. But that craze hooked on and hush puppies began to sell shoes rapidly again. And it went up to 100,000 the next year. And finally, it's over in the millions and millions of pairs of shoes that they are selling now, both men's and women's shoes. And it started because of a couple of men that wore them in 50s-style clothing. And so the book is full of that, that there are all kinds of success stories where it starts and it begins to develop with word of mouth and advertising and what have you. They ran a little test one time, and this was my point tonight on this particular phase of our lesson. They ran a little experiment with a bunch of students, and they were taking tests in school. And they had them the entire time they were taking their test to shake their head yes while they were taking the test. They corrected the test. And when the test was over, they graded their test, and they had done very well. And so the next test they took, they had them shake their heads no. And they did very bad in test. And that let me know that when you think about something, you need to think on the positive side of things and say yes. And doesn't the scripture say the promises of the Lord are yea and amen? Somebody ought to be able to nod your head yes and say yes to the Lord tonight. Can you? There's a beauty in being able to recognize the calling that God has given to us and that we are in this to win, not to lose. As you heard Brother Enzi state already, this is going to be a winner when it's over with. You haven't become a part of something that is a failure. You're a part of something that is on the winning side. This passage of Scripture talks about wars and fightings among you, and it has to do possibly with the personalities of individuals and what have you, but it goes deeper than that when it talks about adulteresses and adulterers. And he said the words, in fitting with these few scriptures, he said, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." I know we are holiness people. We're apostolic people. We believe in being separated from the world. And that's why the devil fights us so much. That's why we have struggles in the spirit and we war things more than many other people. And so the war of our mind and the war of our soul and the things that go on are very typical to the battlefield of which we see even tonight as it rages in Iraq and other parts of our world. Wars are very expensive. In fact, war started in heaven. did. You read the book of Revelation, you find that war started in heaven, and according to credible history, we've only had about 288 years of peace in our world since history has kept track of wars. 288 years of peace in all of the years of man's day. War is very expensive. The Vietnam War cost America $200,000 for every enemy soldier killed. The World War II was $200,000. Vietnam War was $500,000 per enemy soldier killed. I don't know what this war will cost, but when you talk about the cost of war, there is deeper things than the money that is spent. There is the cost of lives and the hurt of families and all that comes with it throughout the course of war. But we've had war ever since we can remember. You studied the history of the world very far back, even just a few hundred years ago, a 30-year period of piracy in the year 1560 to 1590. The seas became a bloody war of piracy. In fact, it was okay to kill and to steal in the name of God or in the name of religion. In fact, it was the Pope Sextus, I believe it was, that made an offering to Philip of Spain that if he would conquer or at least invade England, he would give him 600,000 crowns of gold. And so he loaded up his boats. I believe there was about 130 boats, some 27,000 men. And 19,000 of those men were taught in hand-to-hand combat to board other ships and take over other ships and sea piracy. And so they headed out to invade England and had miscalculated, made misjudgments about England. And of course, they limped their way back to Spain with some 54 boats out of 130 and about 10,000 of their 27,000 men. And those 10,000 were sick and wounded, and the British army and their navy had lost no ships at all and only 60 men. And so some wars are very lopsided and one-sided. And I'd like to think tonight that the war that we are in for our very soul would be lopsided, at least tonight in this congregation. Hallelujah. I'd like to think that we're going to go from here and we're going to learn how to fight and learn how to win and learn how to conquer because God has given us the power to overcome and the power to stand against the enemy of our soul. It was Will and Ariel Durant that wrote an entire series of history books and probably one of the easiest history books to read. And at the close of one of their chapters where they would many times write some beautiful little words, he wrote these words at the end of the 1500s and said, "So wars determine theology and philosophy, and the ability to kill and to destroy is a prerequisite to live and to build." And when you stop and consider that, that's quite a statement, because the ability to kill and destroy gives you as a prerequisite the ability to live and to build. Now, the entire Old Testament is a bloody warfare. It is war after war after war after war. And you read it, and you can learn some interesting strategies. You can learn how the Lord took just a stone in one particular war and put the entire flight of the Philistines, the whole army of the Philistines to flight just with one little stone. And God knew how to win wars in the Old Testament, but that's not how we fight today. We don't fight with implements of war as we preached Monday night. We preach in a different, we fight wars in a different sense tonight. And some may be battling things of the mind and things of the flesh that makes you recognize that you're in a struggle and in a battle. I want to read to you from the Amplified Bible the same passage of Scripture, chapter number four, verse number four, the book of James. And he said, "You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world, loving your husband's enemies." I want that to sink in for a minute. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world, loving your husband's enemies, and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? Now listen to the last phrase of that verse in the Amplified Bible. It said, so whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. So I want to preach to you about enemies and wars, and I want to talk to you about what's going on in the world around us tonight, because we have to take our stand tonight as being a soldier in the army of the Lord. I didn't join up to quit. I didn't join up to go AWL. I didn't join up to lose. I didn't join up to get shot and mortally wounded. I joined this to win, and I intend to win. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest wars of history, you could read about them, and I preached last time I was here, I believe, about the Spartans and the book of Gates of Fire and the Battle of Thermopylae and all some of those old wars and how those soldiers fought and they won wars and the British wars, and just mentioned a couple of them tonight, and the Korean War and the war in Iraq and the Vietnam War and some of the treachery that went in to warfare, and I have talked with and counseled with and tried to help some of those that have been involved with frontline warfare. We have a young man out of our church that is driving convoy in Iraq now and seeing some of the action that is there, and it's not always a comfortable place to be. But war is not something that's foreign to God. If you read the book of Revelations, you'll find in the 12th chapter, the 7th verse, and there was war in heaven. Yes, even in heaven, Michael and Lucifer. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Then the great dragon was cast out, that old dragon called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him, and they overcame him, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Can I tell you that we are in the final throes of the battle tonight, and there's something more powerful than implements of war. There's something more powerful than helmets and shields and swords as they fought with. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a banner that is able to wave over us. And there's victory in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I feel that victory in this camp tonight. I believe North Dakota is not going to be the same any longer. I believe every year it seems like we get better and better. And we've gotten to a place now where we just say, come on, devil, we're ready to take you on. We have something in the Holy Ghost the world doesn't have. We have something in the Holy Ghost that the things of this world cannot conflict with and win. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we have some of the greatest things yet to happen in the church this church has ever known. I have not seen the revival I want to see. I have not seen the service that I want to see. Can I tell you, we've had some wonderful services this week. The last time we were here, we had some tremendous services in the nighttime. I have not seen the service I want to see. I have not yet got to the place in my own spiritual life that I want to attain to. I have not yet arrived. But I do know one thing. I am striving. And I'm working forward to it. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm pressing forward to it. I'm putting on some things in my life to prepare me for the onslaught of hell. Because it's coming. But we have a victorious church. Hallelujah. And we have a victorious spirit in this place tonight. And so the 12th verse of that same chapter said, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. But it said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time to work. Can I just remind you, and I'm not going to glorify the devil tonight. He is a whipped general. He doesn't know what it is to lose yet like he's going to. And it's over with. He has no conquering force. He has no power over you. When he comes to talk to you, all you have to do is say, get behind me. And he's behind you. And you can lead on. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of temptation. You don't have to be afraid of the threats of the devil or the threats of temptation or the threats of failure. All you have to do is say, my hope is in the Lord. I said, my hope is in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When the war moved from heaven to earth, and the Bible said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and woe has it been. For 6,000 years, the war has raged. The casualties on the side of the road has been countless. And the loss of life, and the loss of countries, and the loss of kings, and the degradation of truth that lie in the streets in our history. But there is an army rising in this last day. Oh, hallelujah. That's not afraid to take the challenge of this generation and say, we have something on the inside of us that's more powerful than what's on the outside of us. Oh, hallelujah. There's some outer pressures, but there's some inner braces. Oh, hallelujah. There's something on the inside of the church that gives us a rise tonight to say, devil, give it your best shot, because we're the last generation church, and we're here to conquer, and we're here to overcome, and we're here to stand, and we're here to fight, and we're here to win. We're here to take a crown. We're here to take victory all the way to the streets of glory. You may wonder why there is a battle, but let me just take you back to the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. He said, I will put enmity, that word comes back from our text, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heal. There's so many areas that we could go with that tonight, but Lindsay, that we both share and enjoy and love. But I just want to let you know the war was set a long time ago. And tonight you sang of it and you worshiped singing that song. But the war was set a long time ago. When it broke out from heaven and Lucifer was cast down, even Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning falls from heaven to the earth. And the scripture said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And the story unfolds in the beginning of the book of Genesis that there was war between the serpent and the woman, and against her seed and his seed. And that battle rages tonight. And some of the things that you have gone through is nothing more than a battle for your soul. But I want to preach to you for a little while tonight. If you make friends with the world, you automatically become an enemy of God. And on the contrary side, if you become an enemy to the world, you automatically can become, through the born again experience and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you can become a friend of God. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. You got to get an attitude that I'm training and I'm working and I'm laboring and I'm practicing and I'm carrying on, because I'm in a battle for my soul. So the battle goes from the Garden of Eden to the battle of the firstborn. And you can go through several firstborns that wind up even in the times of Moses and that death angel coming through the land, when the battle of the firstborn was culminated on that night when the death angel came through, and the children of Israel's firstborn lived, and the children of Egypt, their firstborn was slain, and it was all because they had not taken the greatest weapon of their day, and that was the blood of an animal, and put it on the doorpost. Hallelujah. Can I preach just for a few moments? One of your greatest weapons that you can have and have as a covering and a protection in your mind and your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I wished I knew how to preach on the blood. I wished I knew how to help you understand the blood. But the blood is a very beautiful part of our body. It cannot be duplicated, replicated. There is no imitation. There is no counterfeit blood. When you lose your blood, it is over. It is a very unique part of our body, and the Lord used it to purchase our salvation in His own human body. Did you know that the intricate veins and vessels and arteries of your body goes to every part of your body, and the blood system carries the food that you eat and digest, and it draws out the nutrients, and it eventually gets into your bloodstream, and it carries the food to every part of your body? Don't tell me we don't need the blood of Jesus Christ today. The Scripture said they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Can I tell you tonight, it doesn't matter where the body of Christ meets, there's somebody that needs the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may be a part of the body tonight, and you may be one that supplies the blood to somebody. Hallelujah. We are members in particular, and that blood has to go to somebody. But the interesting thing about blood is that it goes to the farthest extremes of your body, supplying food to every part of your body. But as it drops off the groceries to feed your arm, it picks up the garbage. I believe the doctor's in the house somewhere, and he correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the bloodstream, when it goes to every part of your body, it takes the groceries to your body to feed every part of your body. If you cut off the blood to that finger will drop off in a matter of days. If you tie a rubber band around it so tight, it'll eventually just drop off, because the blood is what supplies the life and the supply of food and strength to every part of the body. Can I preach to you, if you're going to overcome the devil, you have to know how to use the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's a song said, the blood of Jesus Christ is against you. I want the devil to know that we have something powerful in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Not only does it bring us strength, not only does it bring us oxygen, not only does it carry the food to our body, but it pulls all the garbage out of our body and hauls it back and gets rid of it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ gives you some strength. But it also takes all your weaknesses and all of your failures and all of the things that you have failed to live up to. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. And the Bible plainly said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us and to cleanse us and to cleanse us. Oh, hallelujah. And so the blood took care of the firstborn war then. And Jesus, of course, became the firstborn from the dead. And I want to state this again. I've stated it several times of late in preaching. But I had somebody tell me one time, said, well, I'm a third generation Pentecost. And I wanted to boast, my father received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a barn in 1917. My family's been in the church all of my life. I've tried to raise my children. I'd love to raise all my grandchildren in the church and all of that. But, you know, that doesn't mean a thing, being a third generation Pentecost to me. Because this is not something handed down from Brother Walters to your children, Brother Emery to your children. It's not handed down. It is. You can be trained and all of those things. Don't misunderstand me. But we have to be born again. And I am a first generation. I'm a firstborn. I have the rights of the firstborn. And the battle of the firstborn still rages. You know, the devil doesn't want to give up his rights. He was in heaven. Yeah, he was. He was one of the three angels that was there. The Lord used three main powers of strength in heaven. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And he got proud and lifted up. And he had some abilities that other angels didn't have. There are some angels that all they do is worship all day long. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. That's all it seems like they do. But the three major angels had some specific abilities that others didn't have. And they had some limited choice, evidently. And Lucifer made some wrong choices. And he was cast down. And he doesn't like it. And he doesn't like it because we have been born again. And have become the firstborn. Therefore, the heirs of all that God has. And you better be careful, because he would like to take you hostage. He would like to take you into his captivity. He would like to, as a snare, pull you into the world of confusion again. And in this war, he would like to destroy the church. He'd like to do away with the body of Christ, but I have come to preach to you tonight that we have something in our own spirit today that we can win and become victorious. Oh, hallelujah. And so the scripture teaches us in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And we are the sons of God, and therefore heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. We're heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. And we have a hope beyond this world. Hang on, church. There's something better coming. There's something better down the road for us. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in a battle for our very soul and our very existence. But we're not beat down. We're not destroyed. We're not short on ammunition. And we're not short on protection. We have a God that is able to meet the need every hour of every day and every moment that we live. We have a God that's with us. A God that's for us. A God that's in us. A God that's in front of us. A God that's behind us. A God that's on the side of us. A God that's all around us. A God that's there before we ever get there. So we are in the greatest war of our existence. And I don't think that we ought to be passive about it. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not going there. I'm not talking about being overzealous and making foolish mistakes. I'm talking about we need to be the oppressor. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about the oppressor. And they had no power. But we have power, and we need to be the oppressor. We need to be inflicting wounds on the enemy's camp. Hallelujah. We need to be doing some warfare as an oppressor, not as the oppressed, depressed, tormented, or set back. We should do the oppressing. The devil has nothing on us. Jesus said one day walking down the road, he said, the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. Hallelujah. He has nothing in me. You know what I'm telling you tonight? The devil has nothing on you and has nothing in you. There is nothing that the devil has that can condemn you or confuse you. You have victory over him by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to pick up an implement of war. You don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood. All you have to do is let the name of Jesus come out of your lips. And there's more power in that name and power in that blood that'll take care of every failure and every weakness that you go through. I'm talking about winning this war. I'm talking about becoming victorious. I'm talking about putting the devil in his place and never letting him get a conquering hold on us. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's time for us to speak up. It's time for us to let the world know that there is a Holy Ghost available to them, that there is a Savior who died for them. There is a God that came to this world in the form of flesh and resurrected his body on the third day and is in heaven and now gave to us the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me read to you from the second book of Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. And he said, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now don't be afraid of that scripture. It just states what's happening in the world, not in the church. The devil goes to our world and just as a snare is taking them captive at his own will. They're being held hostage. I think it's time for a rescue. Hallelujah. I think it's time for us to recognize who our enemy is. We're not talking about being enemies to people. We're talking about being enemies to spirits and the things that battle our minds and our souls, and recognizing what is hurting people and how hurting people are affected by the things of our world. And we need to go to where they are with a good old sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and say, hey, I have come to rescue you. I have come to point you to Calvary. I have come to show you a better way. I have come, oh yes, I have come to take you out of the environment you're in and take you to an apostolic church where they believe in worshiping and shouting and speaking in other tongues and singing the songs of Zion and raising an anthem of praise to the mighty God and worshiping him with us all, with all of our heart. I say it's time for us to become the oppressor.
I'm tired of the devil beating down the church. I'm tired of young people being oppressed by the devil. It's time we stand up and oppress hell. Hallelujah. There's enough power in North Dakota to turn this state inside out, upside down, and a revival spirit carry us until the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're tired of the devil stealing your victory, it's time for you to stand up. And the most powerful thing... I don't have anything to do with my past. It was buried in an old baptismal tank in the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to become the oppressor. I said we ought to become the oppressor. You can be seated for a few moments. The Apostle Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which what? War against the soul. I'm going to preach to you tonight with all of my heart, if I have nothing left. Abraham Lincoln said, we are now engaged in the great civil war, testing whether this nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. I paraphrase, we are now engaged in a great cultural war, testing whether this church or any church so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are under attack like we have never been under attack, and it's not just coming from implements of war, as we would say in the world of natural and fleshly and carnal things, but the church is under attack. I don't know how it all affects us. I don't know how it all works, but the airwaves is full of depressing information and depressive type of media and movies and all that. If there was receivers in here, we could receive all kinds of filth and confusion, and you wonder why we are so depressed at times. Can I preach to you? We need to put some things out of our mind and out of our eyes and out of our homes and out of our hearts and out of our spirits and say, hey, I'm going to live for God with all of my heart, and I'm going to put the oppression back on the devil. I'm going to let him know that he has no place in our church. He has no place in our home. He has no place in our lives. He has no place in our memories. He has no place in our spirits. We have a God that's bigger than all of that. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, yes, we are a church that's in cultural change in some ways, but it's not going to defeat us, and it's not going to get us down. We are going to win. We already know the outcome. I said, we already know the outcome. Hallelujah. And so he said, you can see, he said, abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I don't mind telling you tonight, I'm not worried about my bank account. I'm not going to be foolish with it and just throw my money away. I'm going to wisely invest in the work of God, whatever needs to be taken. But if I lost all of that tonight, I've got the greatest of all in the hope of glory. I'm not worried about the political system. Totally. I am concerned. But my real concern is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the story of Balaam and Balak? I won't go into it all, but he wanted Balaam to curse the Lord's people. And they went back and forth, looked in various angles and ways to do it. And he finally had to give up and say, you know, I can't do it from any angle. I can't do it from any point of view. I just can't do it. And he said, I'll tell you what you can do, though. And he told them of a sexual intrusion into the children of Israel that divided them and eventually destroyed them. And there is a sexual revolution coming into our world that's already here that we need to protect ourselves from and guard ourselves. I touched on it just a little bit last night. Let me just revisit it, young people. If you want to have a better, successful marriage, save yourself for marriage and protect your life and protect your holiness and protect your righteousness and protect your virtue. We are in the greatest war of our existence and we should be the oppressors. We should be the one to look them in the eye and say, peer pressure doesn't shake me. I know the casualties of that war and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I know the casualties of the war in the world and I am going to live for Jesus Christ. He said, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. We're in this battle of the soul. This is not a flesh and blood battle. This is not just a mind battle. We're in the battle of our soul. I'm talking about a deeper war than what you could ever read about in any storybook or any other type of reading. I'm talking about a battle that will eventually destroy your soul. Jesus said, don't fear the man that can kill your body, but worry about the man that can both kill your body and what? And your soul and cast it into hell. I'm preaching to some young people tonight that needs to get on fire for God like never before. And you are. I'm not going to put you down. I'm going to try to lift you up. You need to get a hold of something today that will set your church on fire. I don't care if you got a church of 100 or a church of 10. You need to set that church on fire and say, devil, there is a limit. You're not crossing. And if you don't watch out, we're taking ground from you. Hallelujah. Didn't the Lord say that he had the keys of death and of hell? There's a key that's stronger than the gate. I said there's a key that's stronger than the gate. One man said, the greatest tool in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. The greatest tool in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Who you give your mind to is who's going to win your war. Your thought processes, how you think. If you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. My spirit is burdened tonight to help somebody understand you cannot play as an illicit love affair to the other side in this war. You can't cross the boundaries at nighttime and go to the pubs and the dives of the enemy's camp and play in an illicit love affair with the husbands of your, with the wives of your husband's enemies and see what the world can do to them. I'm here to preach to you. You need to live for Jesus Christ on Monday and Monday night as much as you do on Sunday and Sunday night. You need to recognize that living for God is not a one-day week thing. It is an everyday occasion. And understand the greatest weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And I'm here to send notice to the devil. He doesn't have my mind. In the book of Ephesians 4:23, it said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm here tonight to get something in my spirit and the spirit of my mind that gives me faith to know that I'm winning the war. This war is a war for the soul of mankind. Scripture said, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. You can't let your mind wander the things of the world and be fed with the garbage of the world. You can't feed yourself constantly enemy propaganda and come out on top. You got to know who you are. You got to study the war manual. Understand the generals. Understand warfare. Didn't Paul write that we are not ignorant of his devices? Didn't the apostle help us understand that we've got to learn what it is to fight and how to win? I'll tell you how you're doing it, and you're doing it at this camp. You're setting the devil at flight. Brother Nathan, you mentioned it tonight. There's not a demon in hell that can stand in this congregation. There is not an imp from the very pits of hell that can be here. When you're lifting your hands, as Brother Enzi taught today, and you begin to worship God, there's a victory in that. There's a victory against depression. There's a victory against oppression. There's a victory in temptation and failure when you lift your hands and you begin to worship the Lord and you recognize, I'm going to win this war and I'm going to be the oppressor and I'm going to attack hell on its own grounds. Oh, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we preach a little longer? Let me read to you from the book of Psalms 19 and verse 7. It said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I don't want to overstep tonight in any way. And I know we have to have records and keep records and church rolls and all of that. I understand that. But if all we're interested in counting numbers at an altar, we fail to realize that this is a battle for the soul, not the body count. I'm not knocking nothing. Don't misunderstand me. There is a value in numbers. The Lord used them and all of that. But that can't be our focus. It has to be an understanding that we are converting souls, not just people, to follow our ideologies and our personalities and the way we do things. And we as preachers sometimes abuse our own powers. I admit it. Sometimes we want somebody to think just like we do and act just like we do. And we try to get them to walk just like we walk. But let me remind you, preachers, the Lord spoke about a 30 and a 60 and a 100-fold person. And sometimes not everybody thinks just exactly like I think. I can't just say, oh, I'm proud of them because they think like I think. If they're baptized in Jesus' name, having repented of their sins and full of the Holy Ghost, they can have an opposite personality than I have. But I'm trying to convert their soul. I'm working on something deeper than the flesh. I might as well launch into it. When we're correcting things of the flesh, we're really protecting the soul. The devil doesn't give a whit about your flesh. He'll kill your body because he knows that's how to get to your soul. But my God said in the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter, he restoreth my... He restoreth my... You're going to be wore out this week. You'll have to go home to get a rest. But your soul is going to be restored in the Holy Ghost. Your soul is going to be restored in the kingdom of God. He restoreth my soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Brother Hensley talked about the flutter and glitter and glutter of the society that we live in religious circles today. And so ably preached to us about the fluff and the snuff and the stuff of our society. I thank God that this isn't about how well you dress or how well you think you ought to look. This is something on the inner side of a man called the soul. And my soul came to this camp tonight to long for and yearn for. And I said my soul came. It had to be transported by my flesh, but my soul came. Hallelujah. Because my soul is hungry for something. I can get some food after service. I can have some drink after service. But right now, something's happening in my soul. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to abstain from some fleshly lust to protect my soul, to guard my soul. This is a battle of the soul. Abstain from fleshly lust, a war against the soul. The second verse said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I don't know whether you heard the comments already this week, but there has been comments about the coming of the Lord this week already. There's something on the inside of us that's saying, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. Our flesh is enjoying life. We enjoy our cars, we enjoy our homes, we tents, our motorhomes, and our campers, and this campground. We enjoy all of that, but our soul is saying, come Lord Jesus. We'll get out into a car and go home and enjoy our house and enjoy our family. But our soul is saying, come on, Lord Jesus. Is your soul hungering for God? Is your soul thirsting for God? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, they shall be, they shall be filled. If you get to hungering for right things, you can go home with them tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel a touch of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I feel somebody has come tired, weary, and worn. You've fought the flesh so long, failing to understand that there is a rejoicing and a renewal in the soul. Your flesh can get some rest at night, but your soul needs rest. And Jesus said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Hallelujah. You may be fighting the devil in the flesh. And if you're fighting the devil in the flesh, you're not going to make it. And you're going through the battle of words and the battle of lifestyle and all of that. You'll lose. But if you'll get to fighting the devil with your soul and hungering after God in your soul, I'm telling you, you'll win this war and you'll go sweeping through the pearly gates of heaven and you'll inherit a crown of righteousness that never fades away. And you'll inherit all that God has for us. Oh, hallelujah. Because we are soldiers in the army of the Lord and we're marching. Where are we marching? We're marching through the enemy camp. And we're taking hostage with us. And we're picking up all who will come. And we're marching. And we're not going to stop marching until we march inside the streets of glory. And we stand before our King, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And we bow before Him and say, He is our God. Hallelujah. Somewhere tonight in this congregation, in the heart and soul of an individual while the musicians come. I'm going to try to wind this up. Somewhere in this congregation tonight is somebody that has been taken captive and you're imprisoned by your thoughts and your failures and your yesterdays. And somewhere in the midst of the war, you have been inflicted with a wound that you wonder if it's incurable and you wonder whether you'll ever rise again. I'm preaching to somebody tonight for just a few moments to let you know that the North Dakota district and this camp meeting has come to rescue you and a hostage rescue operation is underway right now. And wherever you are in the battle for your soul, we're watching for you. We're looking through the windows and we're saying, and if they can just see a little glimmer of hope in a soul that'll cry out and say, I want something better. I'm looking for some young people tonight that'll say in their spirits, I'm signing up not for a 2-year hitch, not for a 4-year hitch. I'm not signing up for the reserves. I'm an enlisted man for life. I'm making my life available to Jesus Christ. I'm going to win this war. Is there somebody who'd like to join tonight? Let me tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. I said they're mighty. I said they're mighty. They're mighty through God to the falling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be the oppressor tonight. How about you? You have something in your mind that you're battling. Come on, let's cast it down. Casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the weapons of our warfare. You came weary. You came wore out. You were battling in the flesh. You were warring things of your mind. Come on, let the Lord restore your soul tonight. Come on, let the Lord give you some victory in the Holy Ghost tonight. Let Him lift your spirit tonight. You have done it, but let's do it again. You've already signed up. Let's re-enlist. Let's make ourselves available to Jesus Christ until this war is won and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I wonder if there's anybody could shout with victory. As the psalmist wrote, clap your hands, all ye people, and lift up your voice with a voice of triumph. Let me tell you something, church. When Israel illegally, without proper respect, took the Ark of the Covenant to war, they took a physical box. God wanted them to win the war. But what was interesting about it was when that Ark came into the camp of the Israelites, there was such a shout of praise that went up. that it rolled over the little hillside and into the valley where the Philistines had camped on the other side of the valley, on the other side of the little grassy knoll. And the sound of praise and worship flowed so rapidly, they had to recognize, and the Bible said they knew it was the Ark of the Covenant. I know we're a long ways from a large town, but it's pretty open shot as I look today across the plains out here, and there's not much obstacles that when we clap our hands and lift our voices with a voice of triumph and you direct it towards your city, there's already a preparation in that city. Hello? Somebody name their city. Let's hear it. Where are you from? Name your city. That's it. Name your city. With a voice of triumph, come on, let's clap our hands. And with a voice of triumph, let's send the Spirit of God to our city, our little towns, wherever we are, and let the battle be ahead of us. Come on, church, the battle is ours. We have won. We have won.
God, we love you. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, let us worship the Lord. God, we love Thee, oh God. We praise Thee, oh God. Oh, let's just gather in. Let's just gather in. Oh, Lord, we love Thee, oh God. Lord, we praise Thee, oh God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.